Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
I'm gonna talk to all my freaks out there.
I think I'm gonna make that like a thing. Like maybe once a week we'll just throw a wrestling promo in at the end of the show. I don't know. We'll see. Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Tomorrow, Steve Stone's going to join me. I'm not sure how long of a show we have tomorrow. The Cubs are supposed to play a day game, which usually means the show's like 45 minutes. But I'm looking at the forecast, and it seems like you got 80% chance of rain. That means it's a 33 1/3 percent chance of a full show.
You got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me and he's not even going to try.
Exactly. So we'll play it by ear. We'll see how tomorrow goes. Parkins and Spiegel have got you from now until 6. Hello, boys.
Hello, Lawrence. Yeah, not a great forecast for tomorrow because we live in a place that apparently doesn't see sun ever. It's raining again.
Yep.
Raining again.
Seattle is in the house.
My heart's at an end. Seattle, I like that.
That's an outrage.
I haven't heard that one. It was a very pleasant night at the ballpark, though, I got to tell you.
Good.
It was cold, but everybody knew it was going to be cold. We all knew what we were doing when we put on our winter coats and headed to the game in May. But people were in a good mood. You know,
Last night's a reasonable night to go to the ballpark.
It felt reasonable. Sure. Exactly right.
Night before, not reasonable. Not reasonable.
No.
Yeah. Someone in one last thing, Lawrence, asked, what sporting event would you be most willing to sit through the worst weather for? Which I thought was a good question. I answered Bears NFC Championship game because Super Bowl is never going to be in a... I mean, obviously it could be, but overwhelmingly likely it's not going to be in a bad weather situation. So I said Bears NFC Championship game.
It's a good answer, although I know you, and unless you were in a suite, I don't think you'd go.
I'd do it.
Really?
Yeah, man, that's like
a... It's a once in a lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's happened once in my lifetime, and I did not attend, but not because of weather. But yeah, I think that's the answer. But I am going more and more in the direction of fair weather sporting event attendance.
Right. I mean, World Series game. For me, I've done it.
I've done it too.
Yeah.
Like, done it too.
The one I went to in Boston with my dad and my brother was one of the colder baseball games I've ever sat all the way through, and I there's no way I would have left.
Yeah, game 4 of the World Series at Wrigley was very cold.
That was a cold night.
That was very cold. Was there? What about you, Lawrence? Yeah,
I left Soldier Field after covering a Bears game and went over to 35th and Shields for the Konerko Grand Slam, and the weather was horrible.
I was there that night too, man. That's a special, special night. I was there covering for Sporting News Radio, RIP Sporting News Radio, by the way, and the 9 different things it became. Is it still something?
It's still becoming, actually, I believe.
Man.
I think it's still a thing.
It's quite a run.
Sporting News Radio is still a thing?
No, whatever it
is. Like, whatever it became is like a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was one-on-one sports, and then it was Sporting News when I was there, and then it became Yahoo, and then it became
Sports Map.
I don't know.
Do we know Sports Map?
That's not a thing.
Sports Map Radio Network has gone by the names SB Nation Radio, Yahoo Sports yes. Radio, Sporting yep. News Radio, yes. and One on One Sports.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
But which one is it now?
Sports Map. Those are just two words you took and put together.
I'm reading. I'm reading the internet.
Like Sports Map?
Sports cleanser.
Just go with that.
Sports cleanser.
Sports
coffee. Just go
with Sports Map.
No, 2020 to present.
Sports Map.
So Sporting News Radio, 2001 to 2011.
Oh, yeah.
Yahoo Radio from 2011 to 2016. SB Nation Radio, 2016 to 2020.
Yeah.
And as of July 27th of 2020, Gao Media dropped the SB Nation brand in favor of its own Sports Map brand.
Sure.
As it felt the network no longer benefited from cross-branding and had lost operational control in the process.
Well, anytime you can become Sports Map.
What is the lineup at Sports Map Radio?
We're on there now. We're on there right now, as a matter of fact.
Sports map.
Maybe. Lawrence, I was there the night, and I've looked for this tape. I don't know where it is. At one point, when that game ended, the Konerko Grand Slam game with the Podsednik walk-off, no fans left. You remember that? Nobody left. It just, like, the songs just kept playing. The DJ just kept spinning Go-Go White Sox and other songs, and people just stayed there and cheered. And I just, like, stuck a microphone out the window of the auxiliary press box there down the left field line and just rolled on, like, 2.5 minutes of Sox fans singing that I wish I had. And I just can't find.
Just amazing. There are two times in that ballpark, or three. Three times in that ballpark in particular that you go, man, those were days to be there. One is Duque versus the Red Sox, and I was there for that.
Wow.
Him pitching out of that jam,
yep,
which was amazing.
Bases loaded, nobody out. In the fifth, was it?
In the fifth inning. And he went in there and was a magician and got it done.
Man.
The World Series game that you're talking about and the blackout game. Like, the blackout game, like, the way that they got that together and the way that White Sox fans were compliant, like, the White Sox were like, look, and remember what they had to get through to get to the blackout game, where it's like they had to play three different teams in the division on three consecutive days, and then they end up in that blackout game. And the White Sox were like, hey, we got a game. We want you here. Everyone wears black. That's it. And then everyone came there and was rocking and was compliant. And it was an amazing game where you have, what, Tommy with the home run.
Griffey with the throw.
And Griffey with the assist from center field, mm-hmm, to win that game. Those three games are games that are kind of etched in my memory of being in that ballpark. And it's stuff that I'll probably never let go of.
That's awesome.
Those are three awesome games.
Yeah, crazy.
Scott Farrell is on Sports Map Radio.
He's on the bench. I need a drink over here. Give me a beer.
A show called Just Saying It with Cole Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he's like, I'm just saying?
I'm just saying it.
Turn it into a thing?
Yeah. Then the Wake Up Call is hosted by Tony and Ron. No last names provided.
Yeah.
What time is that show?
That is 7 a.m.
Okay.
And then Fred Nation is hosted by Fred Fowler, Greg Frank, and Del Olale.
Why the rest of the guys don't have their name on the show?
I don't know.
Because it's Fred Nation. That's why.
It looks like Scott Farrell has two shows on this network.
Oh, man.
He has
on the bench.
He's got Farrell on the bench overnights, and then he has Farrell coast to coast in the afternoon.
Like butter and toast, baby.
You know what that means? That means he does coast to coast, and then Farrell on
the
bench.
They replay.
They re-rack Farrell.
Yeah, and then there's a show called Game Time Decisions with two gentlemen named Gabe and Cam. Mm.
Is it Gabe Time or Game Time?
It is
Gabe time.
Game Time and then Gabe and Cam. But you clearly have just been hired as the senior vice president of marketing and promotions.
Congratulations.
Game Time. Well done.
Game Time Decisions.
For Sports Map Radio.
Thank you. I've been looking to get over there.
Yeah.
And now this was my way to get in.
You know, there's probably really good people.
I'm sure. I've just never
working
heard
there
of it.
And dreaming of being in our business. And they are in our business. And they're probably making content that they're proud of, I hope.
I
mean, Fred Nation, I'm going to start tuning in to Fred Nation.
I just consider myself a pretty voracious consumer of the sports media industry, and I never heard of this.
You know what's funny is, like, sometimes I think of a moment on Howard Stern. I think it was like 4 years ago. He had Jerry Seinfeld on, or maybe 3 years ago, and they were talking about podcasts. And like, hey, Jerry, do you want to do a podcast? And Jerry said, how much talking do we really need? Like, how much talking? That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, we're pushing the limits.
Yeah.
We're trying to find out.
By the way, breaking news on The Score is brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million.
I love the Beat the Streak podcast. I love it. Because Danny was on paternity leave. Did you tell him the David Ross story?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I came back.
That he couldn't believe that no one had got that. It's
are you effing crapping me,
right,
man?
It's harder to
really
predict it.
Even
hitting.
You guys can't do it. Yeah,
yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah,
I love it. That's dope. Like, that's a really
Yeah, right? It's a genuine moment. You know what? I got to tell you, the best thing about hosting Beat the Streak is that I am locked in like I was in junior high in terms of what happened last night in baseball. Like, with every team, every game, every offensive player. And then what are the matchups today? Who's going against who? So, like, I think it's making me smarter on Cubs and Sox, frankly, because that's what happens, right? If you actually follow the whole league like crazy, imagine if we follow the NBA like crazy that voraciously, we'd be smarter talking Bulls, theoretically. Maybe I wouldn't have picked him to beat the Buccaneers.
Imagine if you had Nick Madrigal last night and you're sitting there going, was that a hit? Was it not a hit?
Right.
Was it a hit?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Is it a hit? Are they going to score a hit? Yay, it's a hit.
I mean, he does
the base running thing that he does.
Did tell people that Jose Abreu was hitting .591 against Kyle Hendricks on his way into that game and had 7 home runs, tied with what, Konerko and Dye for most in Wrigley Field history.
That's pretty crazy. Like,
and then he broke last night, yeah.
Spiegs, I was watching the game and I was sitting there wondering, because Stoney and Benetti brought it up. And I'm sitting there going, I wonder what Jose Abreu's, is his career, like, does he just like hitting there? Or what his career could have been like, as great as it is, if he were a Cub. Because he seems to love, like, that. I don't know if it's the hitting background, but it plays to his strengths, too, that ballpark. I just found myself going, man, he crushes over here. Like, he really likes to hit here.
Yeah, he really, really does like to hit there. And maybe it is that background. Speaking of the background, That's a tough place to play when there's no ivy on those vines.
Oh, my God.
Ridiculous, man.
It's an absurd thing.
It really is. He ran into a brick wall.
A solid brick wall.
Yeah.
And he has built himself like a brick crap house. Like, that guy is...
Yeah. He's a brick. And crap a house.
But it is just like one of those things that we accept because it's...
Charming.
Tradition and charming. It's really dumb, right? That's really stupid that we've got guys running 20 miles an hour to try to catch a baseball for our entertainment.
Gotta know where you are.
So what, would an alligator moat be okay?
No.
would a barbed wire fence be okay? What do you mean, gotta know where you are?
Isn't that why they got rid of that hill in Houston?
Right, it's just dumb.
It's dangerous.
Right, but that hill should not
be a brick wall.
That hill, Towles Hill in Houston, and things like the brick wall is like... It is a vestige of an earlier time. You know, in the first days of Fenway Park, there was a hill leading up to the monster. So they called it Duffy's Hill. And like, you had to, the left fielder had to know, oh, here comes that 4-step incline I have to take before I go up against the monster.
Well,
here.
Right. But you can have, you know, a time portal to a different era with, you know, a manual scoreboard. You don't have to have it be a brick wall that people run into. They didn't used to wear helmets in hockey either. It's like, well, you know.
And it was a better game.
You know, we should really honor our history and tradition. And just we should take off all padding. What do you think? That'd be kind of cool. It's insane. It's insane.
He makes the catch, Danny, and you go, oh, awesome catch. And you're like, oh, he hit the wall. And you're like, oh, he's fine. And you're like, oh, no, he might not be fine.
Right.
And then he was fine, yeah, I think.
That reaction was something, man. It was what, like a solid second and a half, and then he falls. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, no, is there a consciousness issue? What is there? But no, he just realized.
Did he jam a shoulder?
Yeah.
Like, did he hurt his wrist? All of that stuff was in play last night.
He clearly was just full-on effort, and then, all right, I made the catch. Oh, wait a minute. That hurt like hell. Oh, that's unfortunate.
But I like the idea of, oh, you just got to know where you are. Yeah, but like, what if you make a mistake?
Yeah.
Like the mistake I didn't know where I was on the field. Should it be collision with a brick wall?
He really is. He really is a marvel, man. It's like watching Bo Jackson. It's watching a special athlete of that ilk. Like, even the double that he hit, he could have had a triple. I know it was down in the left field corner, and very few people would even bother to try. I was sitting on that side, and he was going at like 60% running because they've told him to be careful with all the soft tissue stuff.
Yeah.
So he goes like strolling into second on that. Then there's a single, there's a short single that he pulls up to third. He could have scored on that if he wanted to, but he didn't bother. And then it started getting real. Did you see that when he's on third base? He started like jaking and faking towards home a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, now he could unleash the speed. And he didn't have to, but it's just like watching him, That guy at 40 or 50% is a better athlete than most of the people we've ever met in our lives.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Just ridiculous.
Can confirm yes. that any version of Luis Robert is yes. a better athlete than the people that I have met in my life. Yeah, absolutely.
But at 40%.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
His cruising speed is just.
That's the thing.
It's awesome. And, like, you know that if that's a game in October that's played, that double. He at least is making you get to the ball in a hurry
Correct.
And get it to third.
Correct. And the kind of pressure he could put on you with that speed is going to turn into errors or turn into bases. And I understand he's doing a good job of doing what he's told and hanging back and trying not to get hurt. But, man.
Danny, how do you feel about the basket?
It's... It doesn't injure anybody. So, like, if that's like a thing of nostalgia, you know, it's obviously harder/impossible to rob a home run. So that takes away that exciting play. But, you know, I like the tradition of Wrigley Field. Like, there's people like, oh, they should make the Cubs take out the ivy and install padding. Well, I mean, I'd be bummed if they lost the ivy. The ivy's a cool quirk. Like, the only inconvenience the ivy ever provides is sometimes there's like a ground rule double where the ball gets stuck in the ivy and it disappears, you know? Like,
well, there was a ball in the ivy yesterday and I was thinking about the ground rule. Could he have put his hands up because you can see it?
That's what
it
is.
You have to pull it out of there.
Yeah, it would have been umpire discretion, and since it was visible, he made the right decision to just go ahead and do it. Like, if the ball disappears, throw your hands up. But because if he would have thrown his hands up and the ball was visible to the umpire on the infield, they mm-hmm. could have just said play on, and then you keep
running,
and then you keep running, and it's an inside the park homer. So yeah, Hap made the right call there. But yeah, I don't know. Someone's got to be able to figure out how to have ivy and a padded wall, right? Like, a prerequisite of ivy isn't brick. So we should be, wouldn't you think?
Would the ivy grow, if you put padding on the wall in the winter, would the ivy grow around
it? I don't know the answer to this question.
I don't either. Let's get a Kiermaier on. Either Kevin, the outfielder, or his brother Dan, the groundskeeper. Actually, Dan would be a better call for this one, now that I think about it.
Roger Bozart.
He could probably answer it, too. But the ivy is like, it's connected to the wall. It's there all year long. Like,
big if true.
Yeah,
yes,
like
yes,
you can't disconnect it from the wall and then replant it to padding. I don't think that's how it works.
Well,
I
mean, so you're saying ivy goes and there's no way to get it back. I don't believe that to be true.
Really?
Well, I don't say you replace the wall. I'm just saying put padding on it.
On top of the ivy? Or between? You guys are talking about between the ivy
between
and the brick wall.
Between the ivy and the brick
yes.
wall.
You ever and been I'm up? Wondering, does the ivy then grow up and over, because plants are like that sometimes.
You know, anytime
plants
I've,
be like that.
Anytime I understand what you're saying. Like, anytime I've been near ivy, either the stuff at Wrigley down there on the field or elsewhere, like, I don't know, on another wall or on a house, it sticks itself to the wall and then it's connect. We need a horticulturist. Can we get a horticulturist?
Thank you for adding that ish the second time. I appreciated that. That was natural. We need a horticulture.
Can lead yes. a horse to water.
I feel like Shane's probably got one of those like in his Rolodex.
I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah. He probably feels like he is one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He will be an ordained horticulturist by 3:30 if we need to. He can do that online these days.
Ordained horticulturist. You're on the score.
Black. Hello, Black. Black
Don't
physicist.
Know where you're calling from, but you're on the air, Black.
Lawrence, I wanted to ask you, I saw your guest list today, very Bears heavy, love that, don't think we're going to have a ton of football time on our show this afternoon. Did you come out of the show feeling better about the Bears draft, worse about the Bears draft, or unchanged?
I'm unchanged, but I thought the Durkin stuff was really good, as it usually is, like him breaking down each one of the top three players in such detail. It made a lot of sense, and what I keep thinking about is something that Leisure wrote. Like, he kept referring to what the Bears' problem is as roster repair, and he couldn't be more spot on. That the whole roster is going to take a lot of change to make that thing better, but I'm still in this place of which way do you evaluate Justin Fields, and would it have been better to give him lesser versions of offensive talent just to say you're doing it versus making the entire team better and then that by proxy making him better. I'm unchanged and still unsure.
Okay.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's all right to keep kind of letting it mill around my mind. Because my first reaction as I was watching other people's reaction during the draft was, I didn't think it was that bad. Like, that was kind of my, like, this seems like a solid draft. But I did understand folks going, you didn't get any offensive help, really. So I'm like, I'm trying to take in all of that information and come up with a conclusion. The conclusion is meh right now.
Okay. All right. Asked and answered. That makes there's no wrong answer right now is the thing. We all have our beliefs, whether it's letting it play out or frustration or love and optimism or however to characterize
love and optimism. I agree with the idea that they can enable Justin Fields through coaching and scheme and protection. They can make him comfortable and he can develop and evolve as sort of a reinitiation to NFL life without the idiotic narcissism of Matt Nagy and that system. So,
like re-rookie?
Yep. I think there's going to be some re-rookieing that's going on this year, and I think you will see a better Justin Fields as he sheds some of the garbage from last year. So that's
Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, I was on Instagram and I was looking at the Bears Instagram feed and they had put something up about the draft picks and there were Bears fans who were like, you guys didn't help Justin Fields. And then there are people like, they got a whole bunch of offensive linemen, bro.
I hate that argument.
I mean, those guys are probably not going to even make the active roster. If one of them makes the active roster, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they're lottery tickets.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on any of them being Charles Leno. Like that doesn't happen very often where guys late in the draft end up being starters for a decade. It happens, but it doesn't happen very often. So when I saw people kind of defending it, like, no, they totally took care of Fields by drafting offensive linemen. When we're talking about sixth and seventh round dudes, I think that is wishful thinking on the part of a fan.
Maybe
if they think that they got something that will help Fields immediately.
Maybe one of them or two of them will be active roster pieces, and we'll see. But they obviously invested some with Lucas Patrick. They tried to invest more with Ryan Bates, and I think that they will invest more between now and camp. I mean, they've signed free agents in this period as a franchise before,
yep.
And they will do so again, and there's going to be more cuts that'll be taking place. There'll be a second wave and a third wave. So, I it is also very possible that they like Borum, that they like Jenkins, maybe at right and left instead of left and right, but they believe that at least one of them is viable NFL tackle.
And I also think it's reasonable, like, as I'm with you, Lawrence, I think that those are lottery picks, lottery tickets, and you cannot say, well, oh, they addressed it. Like, a second-round pick is not the same as a sixth-round pick, obviously, in terms of investment. But I do think it's reasonable to say Ryan Poles is a former offensive lineman who has had success drafting linemen who have started immediately in both, like, just last year for the Chiefs, right? Creed Humphrey in the second round and Trey Smith in the sixth round. Those guys were starters for the Chiefs this past year. So it is possible that Ryan Poles is uniquely qualified to scout offensive linemen later in drafts. It's possible that is a skill of his, but obviously time will tell on that one.
Yeah, we'll see. I also think that he has a coach that we know and a quarterback that we know that can make all of the pieces better. So even if they do end up, and do they start the season starting? I can't remember.
I believe Creed Humphrey did. And Trey Smith is the I don't know, but I remember that was coming off of the Super Bowl 2 years ago where
where he ran for 508 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Right, exactly. So
is it wrong that I think of Creed Bratton every time you say Creed Humphrey? Is that wrong?
Well, it's wrong in that it's not who I'm talking about.
It's not who you're talking about.
Yeah, so but, in that sense, it's wrong.
But Creed Bratton makes me smile.
With arms wide open.
Yeah, there you go. I think of Apollo. Apollo Creed. But no, Creed Bratton from The Office. So
yeah, I'm not an Office guy.
Oh, what are you
doing? Wait, you're not an Office guy?
Who
That's surprising
you?
To me.
Mm. Did you push against it? Because
no,
you
I didn't
it was...
push. You know, I didn't push against it. It was missed an era and a run of comedy on network TV because I had such an HBO bias where I watched like everything on HBO, Showtime, and then, you know, like Breaking Bad, AMC. But I was like, it's on basic cable. It can't be good.
I see.
So,
right. You're an elitist.
So 30 Rock, Arrested Development, wow. The Office, like shows. I missed all of those shows.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. I was wrong.
Yeah, you were.
I was wrong. But I've seen everything now? HBO's ever done, so, you know.
I'm okay. Abbott Elementary's pretty good.
Is it good? I've heard about
it. Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
All right.
Yeah.
Good
and I like American Auto. I think it's pretty funny, too. I mean, obviously, they clearly, like, took style from The Office. Some good performances on there.
It's a sex comedy.
there's that, too. That too.
Jason Benetti on the show at 3, John Morosi at 4, and for score stories today, Lawrence Holmes, Fred Huebner.
Freddie Umbro is going to be on the show?
Fred Huebner, man. That's going to be fun. That's a good, kind, sweet man there. Talented, too.
He's got the... You should have him in Tanny talk beers with you. It's a man that knows his beers.
Yes, he does. So, looking forward to catching up with Freddie and tons of Cubs and Sox on the show as well, Lawrence.
All right, boys. I won't talk to you. Well, I'll probably talk to you tomorrow because I don't think there's going to be baseball.
Yeah, I'll probably talk to you tomorrow. Danny's busy. We'll tell people why.
I'm off. Yeah. I'm off again. But just for a day, hopefully.
It's all right. It's all good. You got the days?
Snippity Jones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Snippity Jones and his bag of peas.
That's right.
That's right. Today, in fact, is a whole day vasectabration we're having right here on The Score.
I'm very excited. I can't wait to see who you guys booked as a surprise.
No, nothing but celebrities who've had vasectomies, top to bottom on the show.
It'll be my first question to Fred Huebner.
Celebration!
See you, Lawrence.
All right, guys. See ya.
Tanny's open. Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
Let's go out to Black. I don't know where you're from, Black, but you're on the air.